Which former Manchester United midfielder is in the country and could be looking for a gig in the A-League? If you haven't heard already, you'll find out in 15 seconds.
The football set.
And that person is... Drumroll, Pete.
Oh, Pete, sorry.
Big drumroll. Louder. Roy Keane. So Roy Keane from Manchester United, or formerly, more recently, of Sunderland and Ipswich Town, coaching there, could possibly be up for the A-League gig of Melbourne Victory coach.
Yeah, it would be great for the league if we see this happen. He has had a somewhat checkered past as a coach. He's been fired for his views, and he likes to spend his money. So I'm not too sure how he'd do with a salary cap, to be fair.
Ah, true. It'd be a bit of a marquee signing, marquee coach signing, and that'd be amazing. People would go and watch him just to...
That's true. I would make the trip down to Melbourne just to watch it.
You would just... that'd be great. And Melbourne crowds have... I mean, they've still been good, but they've been dwindling of late.
Mm.
And that would possibly help them.
Most definitely.
Well, what else is happening in the A-League?
Well, in other A-League news, we have found out that Levitka is trying to sign up David Williams and Andrew Durante on a long-term contract. The likelihood of that actually happening is not too great, mainly because Andrew Durante is still the captain of Wellington Phoenix. Whether or not Ricky Herbert will let him go, I'm not too sure.
Probably not. But David Williams probably stands a bit more of a chance, you would have thought.
The opportunity's there, most definitely. And his recent form for Sydney FC has proved that he's going to be a fantastic asset. So I'd really like to see him stick around in the Sky Blue jersey.
And before we go any further... You know what we've forgotten to do? We've forgotten to say that my name is Matt Greenlaw, and with me, as always, is...
Hello, I'm Pete Nowakowski.
Yeah, he is, and we're here to give you the Football Sack Podcast. Weekly, we're reporting on the State League action and all the A-League happenings, whether there is some or not. Okay, that's our intros done. We can get back to talking about the A-League. What else is happening?
Well, in other A-League news, we also have found out recently that Mitch Nichols... Christian Leyland's favourite player in the entire universe, as well as Scotty Neville, the Perth Glory wingback, have been linked with a move to Portsmouth.
Well, that's pretty interesting because they could win promotion rights and get up to the Premier League, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. Can you imagine watching Mitch Nichols playing Premier League football?
Can you imagine watching Christian Leyland watching Mitch Nichols playing Premier League football?
I would like to see that. I really would.
Yeah, no, wow, that'd be great. No, well, good on him. Good on Mitch.
You know what? He is actually a decent player, to be fair. Yeah, like, when Charlie Miller left Brisbane Roar at the end of two seasons ago, he stepped up the play, and he's actually a fairly decent player, so I wouldn't mind seeing him have a go in England.
And as much stick as we give him, he does have about half a good game every game.
He does.
Yeah.
For that one quarter of those kicks, good effort.
But he's now on Twitter, so we have to. We can't say too much bad things about him.
Oh.
What else we've got?
Sasha Ozanowski. He's been linked with a move to the Bundesliga, which he has called his dream move. A lot of clubs have been monitoring him, and his form from the K-League as well as from the Asian Cup, as well as cementing a place next to Lucas Neal and the Socceroos, it proves that he is a really good asset at the back line.
Well, didn't he win Asian Player of the
Year? That's correct, yeah. He did.
It can't be all bad. All right, we're going to start a new segment for the week. It's called Player Tweets of the Day. Thanks for that belated drum roll. You don't get your sound effects money this week.
Obviously not.
First up, we've got Travis Dodd, recently come onto Twitter. He's been at Dreamworld all day and is complaining about the Gold Coast weather. Well, Travis, at least you don't play for them.
There's a bonus to every story.
Scott Jamison, he's continuing his soiree into journalism and is spruiking his latest piece. He's saying, everyone get the Sydney Morning Herald tomorrow! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Followed by... I wrote a column, bruh.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to check out that Cobham bra. Wicked!
Yeah, to Moz.
Yeah, boy!
Staying with Sydney, we've got Ryan Grant. He's simply stating,
slapping a bass, man.
Slapping a bass. And finally, Adrian Layer is already planning for the off-season. He's obviously expecting an early exit from the ACL, as is the rest of the country, Adrian. He's saying, is Los Angeles any good? The boys want to go there so we can have a beer with Charlie Sheen. Hashtag beers with Charlie equal massive winning.
Well, that's basically the only thing you're going to win this this campaign, boys.
That's about it for the A-League. We're going to move on to some of the State League stuff, starting with the New South Wales Premier League.
In the way of New South Wales Premier League, a lot of action has been happening. We've just reached the end of round two, and what a round it's been.
Hmm.
Sydney Olympic have jumped to the top of the table, winning both of their games so far. Blacktown propping up the bottom of the table with 0 points, and things aren't looking good for the reigning premiers.
Yeah, which is interesting because they were top of the ladder at the end of the season last year and haven't won a game yet. I mean, it's early, it's only two games in, but you still...
But still, it's worrying signs for Mark Ryder then, because he did so well at the end of last season, and now they just can't hit that form. I'm not too sure what's going wrong.
Yeah, so lift your game, boys, at Blacktown.
Mm.
All right, let's go into a bit more specifics of matches. You were down at the Marconi versus Sydney United game this week.
That's correct.
Tell us a bit of that.
Yeah, I absolutely adore going to Marconi Stadium. I've been travelling there almost as much as I can since I was about 10, mainly because it's not so much the football, but it's the atmosphere. The whole Marconi style is that they promote the youth through their ranks, and you stay with that club for your entire footballing career. It's odd where you walk into the stadium, you're greeted in Italian by the old ladies who are sitting at the ticket desk. You have all these men who are standing around in the corners smoking cigars, talking about football in the good old days. Like, I even saw Zeljko Kalic standing at the front gate talking to some of these guys just about what's going on in Italy at the moment. And so it's just fantastic. I love that atmosphere.
Yeah, and that atmosphere is great on the smaller boutique grounds. And it'd be nice to see a bit more of that in the A-League.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Sydney FC even playing a game at Marconi Stadium. I think you would draw a pretty good crowd for that.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely something to look into in the future, Sydney FC, if you're listening.
What, one of their season games?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that, because you know how we would generally go out to Parramatta Stadium to play Perth? That's what we've done the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could make a trip out to Marconi Stadium, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I'd make the trip.
Yeah, I'll do it. Sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, you managed to catch up with one of the Sydney United players while you were there.
I got to catch up with Steve Hayes,
yeah,
centre midfielder for Sydney United. You'd probably recognise him for the long bleached hair look.
Okay.
It really does suit him. I quite like it. So here is a snippet of the interview which I had with him.
So you got the result today. How do you feel about that?
Mate, the result was a lucky one, I think. Could have gone either way, but it was one of those games we had to battle. I think we battled hard, and especially in the second half. So a tough, hard, earned result.
Yep, for sure.
So what are your personal goals for this season? Like, what do you hope to achieve?
Personally, achievement-wise, is I'm just taking it a game at a time. That's all I want to do. Focus on that and just playing good football, and as a team, obviously we want to win a championship. So.
And lastly, with the additions of Mark Rudin and Irfik Talay to your squad, how do you think your title chances are this season?
Obviously, they're bolstered massively. Yep. You know, they bring an enormous amount of experience and quality into the team, so it's a great opportunity for someone like myself to learn off Wolfie and Rudes himself, and yeah, I think they're obviously, you know, they're brilliant, so.
Cool. Well, as you say, he put in a bit of a man-of-the-match performance on this past weekend. I didn't manage to get to any matches this weekend.
Poor effort, mate.
But I was down in Wollongong today, and I managed to pick up the Illawarra Mercury.
It's a good paper, that.
Good paper. And I've got it in front of me. Joel Ritchie, thank you for doing all the work for us, and we're going to just talk about your columns a bit. If you don't mind, well, you probably don't get any say in the matter. Parramatta FC took on South Coast Wolves on the weekend. The score was...
That was a 2-1 win for the Wolves over Brian Jane's Parramatta.
Basically, we've seen Sasha Petrovsky come into the side. We expected him to be fronting the attack. But in last weekend's game, he was kind of getting inside.
He played more of a number 10 style of role. He dropped back into the midfield, tried to get the ball, bring people more into the game and so on.
Yeah, and trying to get this the young gun, whose name is, thank you, Joel Ritchie, Peter Szymanowski. And he's a youngster playing up the front, in front of Sasho. And, you know, I'd like to call Sasho's position a bit more of a false number nine.
What was that? Sorry, can you say it again?
A false number nine.
False number nine. Well, that's an interesting term. Why would you use such a term like that? Yeah.
Well, our good friends over at thatwasgoal.com have written a fantastic piece called How to Be a Sophisticated Football Fan. I think that was written by... Newton. Thank you, Newton. It's great. It tells you all about everything you need to know about how to talk great football, and it just explains the game in a really sophisticated manner. So yeah, so Sasha's playing a bit of a false number nine, I think.
Yeah.
just on the That Was a Goal team, they contacted us midweek and said that Dave was a bit upset that he didn't get a shout out.
I'm sorry, Dave. To be honest, I haven't actually spoken to any of you guys, so I couldn't prompt Matt to give these shout outs.
Dave, we apologise that we forgot to mention you last week, and we're giving you a little bit of extra loving today.
No one else gets a mention, just you, Dave.
Yeah.
Feel special, mate.
Love you, Dave. Love you too. Buy us a beer. Please. Alright, so just a quote on what Trevor Morgan, the coach of the Wolves, had to say after the game about Sasho Petrovsky. He said, "Sasho obviously has a good first touch and is good on the ball and is composed, so I wanted to give him the ball a bit more. It gives us a few options for next week." Yeah, and obviously leading into the season ahead. Just on, while they were against Parramatta FC, obviously, and coach Brian Dean has been embroiled in a bit of a story this week.
Yeah, not too sure what's been going on. He said to the board that he wanted to resign from the position because, for personal reasons, he wanted to focus on his family a bit more. Then the board said that they weren't going to accept his resignation.
He rejected it.
So we were kind of outside the loop of what's going on until Brian actually contacted us. And what did he have to say?
Well, he came out, he said, "Look, I'll make a decision tomorrow." And he's come out and he said he'll stay on till the end of the season. And that was primarily because the club has hired an assistant coach. And
not just any assistant coach. They've actually picked up the former Sydney Olympic coach, I believe, Pat Morando.
Yeah, which is pretty well-credentialed to get an assistant coach of that caliber.
Well, it means the pressure's off Brian Dean now, so it's great to see that.
Yeah, and good to see him keeping on with Para. That about wraps up the New South Wales Premier League, unless you've got anything to say, Pete.
That's about it for the men's competition. Why don't we have a look at the women's Premier League?
All right.
So after seeing 74 goals hit the back of the net in the opening three rounds...
Just before, I think...
Yeah, we should keep a bigger tally
here. Because it's getting quite... Hi.
It is.
So we might keep you updated with how many goals are scored. Just a running tally.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get into the hundreds.
Easily.
In the first couple of weeks, really.
Quite easily here. So it appears the league has started to settle down. No huge scorelines this round. And every side managed to get a goal, which, yay, it was awesome to see. The closest round of football that we've seen this season, basically. Manly United are sitting at the top of the table after scoring 16 goals and only letting one in. So their goalkeeper, top class. Mm. So they've won all three of their games so far, and they look like the informed team.
Another goalkeeper that's, well, she's pretty high caliber goalkeeper is Dimi Poulos, who plays for the Illawarra Stingrays.
Sydney FC fans might know her from the W League side.
Yeah, that's very true. Keeping busy with the Stingrays this season. Now, there was actually one big scoreline, which is a 6-1 win for the Stingrays over
Sutherlandshire
this week. The one goal that they had scored against them was because Dimi, she caught the ball, but she stepped over her goal line.
But it's kind of odd because the ball didn't really cross the line from what I understand. So yeah, it's kind of a controversial moment here.
After that, she played the ball out. A couple of minutes later, her team scored. The linesman on her side called it back and awarded the goal to Sutherland. And bit of a
confusion what's going on, because you're meant to give the advantage to the attacking team. So after Dimi had caught the ball, Illawarra becomes the attacking team. So you're meant to play it on from there. And the referee didn't really play it, which is just odd.
A lot of frustration happened as a result, as you can imagine. Dimi got a yellow, as did fellow teammate Kim Benilla,
who is an American import, from my knowledge, and is one to watch for the future.
So they both got yellows, and also coach Brett Wallin got sent off. So my qualm with this is that they ended up winning 6-1, but they're worrying over this one goal that they apparently let in.
Yeah, but that one goal could come back to haunt them at the end of the season.
What?
If Sydney University continue with these 12-0 and 9-0 scorelines, one goal could prove the difference in the premiership at the end of the year.
Yeah, okay, I understand that, but I just think it's a whole lot of kerfuffle over nothing. What, Brett, the coach, has been sent off. We weren't there. We don't really know what happened, but that's a lot of kerfuffle over one goal. But
yeah,
they eventually won the game 6-1.
It is.
All right, we've had a couple people get in contact with the sack over the past week. Now, we've had an email from Simon Johnson. He's asked us for a bit more content from Tasmania. Now, Simon, we are looking into that. We're trying to get across as many leagues as we can. We can't get across all of them because we are only so big.
I'm sorry, mate. I'm not wearing my Superman t-shirt today, so but I can't do everything.
But we will try to. We'll try to maybe do a wrap one week of how the Tasmanian leagues are going. Andrew Demery?
Yeah, Demery, I believe. I have to thank him. He keeps me up to date with all the happenings of Sydney Olympic. He is the father of one of the youth players for Sydney Olympic. So whenever that he's playing an away game, he always keeps me up to date with the scorelines, which is great to see. So thank you very, very much for all of that.
Yeah, so give him a follow on Twitter if you want some Sydney Olympic updates.
Mm.
Yeah, and thanks for giving us a bit of a spruik online and out and about.
And just looking at the Twitter feed at the moment, we've got MCFC Brisbane OSC, the longest Twitter name I think I've seen in a long time, asking us to give them a shout out. Would all Blues please attend the IN...
The Pig and Whistle. That's the pub up there.
Okay, now I got there on about.
For the semi-final next Saturday night, Sunday. That's Eric. I've met you, Eric. You're good on you, mate. Is the football sack drunk?
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're looking at our Twitter feed. We're not drunk. We're just really... We're high on life. We're high on life. We are, you know? And we've had a couple other requests for shout-outs to a couple of our regulars. So g'day to you guys. You know who you are. Just on contacting and getting in touch with the Football Sack, keep them coming. Keep the updates coming. Keep the questions, the ideas. If you've got some feedback for our podcast, if there's things that you'd like to see or hear more of, if there's things...
If you'd like to hear more of Matt, press 1 now. If you'd like to hear more of me and think I have a sexy voice, because I think I have a sexy voice, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, alternatively, if you want to hear less of us, let us know as well. Yeah, that sort of thing. So get in contact with the Football Sack, and you can do that via our contact page on the website, www.thefootballsack.com. All right, let's move on to the Queensland State League. I guess the big win of the round was Brisbane Strikers. They thumped Capricorn Cougars 7-0 at home, lifting the iconic Queensland side up to second on the ladder. They've got a +8 goal difference, with Sunshine Coast still on top, unbeaten after 4 games. Melanie Janjaski, she's doing a wonderful job. She's reporting on the Queensland State League for us.
And we're very thankful for her. So yeah, she does a weekly wrap for us of what's happening in the Queensland State League. So you can always jump on our website where she posts all of these articles. And it's just great to see that we're getting so much interest about the State Leagues.
Definitely, it's great. It's great that there's that interest is out there. And thank you, Melanie. Jump on the website. We've got now on the State League website page, it's all individualised. You can click on the individual league, the New South Wales Premier League, the Victoria Premier League, WA All Flags State League, or the Queensland State League. You can just pick what you'd like to see. Recent updates, that those are. Keep checking it out. Keep letting us know what you think.
Okay. In the world of the Victorian Premier League, the big news is that Oakley Cannons are sitting equal second on the ladder, 1 point behind league leaders South Melbourne, home of
Luobo Milicevic.
This comes after the 2-1 win over Melbourne Knights on the weekend. At this game, however, it wasn't just spectators in the stands. The coaches of Perth Glory, Wellington Phoenix, Gold Coast United and Sydney FC were all seen to be at this game, apparently scouting who is reported as being the next A-League superstar. He is a 20-year-old, 195-centimetre defender who goes by the name of Anthony Brian Bran.
Wow. You sounded like you were reading that.
No, I don't write scripts for these podcasts. It's all winging it, I promise.
Yeah, so he could be the next big thing if there's all those coaches there.
Yeah, well, I've also heard that John Aloisi has been attending a couple of the games, keeping an eye out on him. So he could actually be featuring in the Melbourne Heart youth team next season. There's always that opportunity there.
John Aloisi, is he...
He's the youth coach of Melbourne Heart now.
Okay. Because they didn't have a youth league.
They didn't have a youth league team before, season, but they do for next season.
Oh, great. Do you know if he's got licenses? Does he have his coaching licenses?
He does have his general coaching licenses.
Okay.
He's accumulated them whilst he was playing from memory. Similar style as what Stevie Corica did. So yeah, it's great to see ex-players coming in, making an influence on the young guys while they're trying to play, basically. It's great to see.
Yeah, good on you, Johnny.
I'm proud of you.
The Football Sack is proud.
Buy us a beer.
Buy us a beer. Indeed. Some more people that can buy us some beer are Balcatta SC in the WA All Flags State League. They've continued their unbeaten run.
That's true. They've run 6 in a row now. So they're sitting top of the table. They've got 15 points.
Yeah, they had a 1-0 win over Armidale. That was away. Apparently it's a long away trip down to Armidale.
That's true, it is.
So they remain top of the table. They're on 15 points after 6 games. But it's worth noting that second place Western Knights are in second place on 11 points, and they've got a game in hand. So they've only played 5, whereas Balcatta have played 6. Just on the WA League.
Yep.
Now I'm new to reporting on it on the WA State League.
As am I.
We get a lot of our information from thatwasagoal.com.
Thank you very much.
That's
a
final shout out for you guys this week. What I find interesting about this league is that there's 13 teams, and one of them is the National Training Centre. So that's similar to the AIS for Football West over there. Games against this team are not contested for points. So that makes things interesting. Because as being 13 teams, there's obviously a bye each week. And the games against NTC, as they're known, they'd surely be a training run for all the other competitors, all these professional teams, well, semi-pro teams that, I know, are there in it to win it, but they've got this game, these two games that they play against NTC, yeah, that aren't worth anything. So what do they do? Do they field a strong team? Do they field a youth
team?
Well,
I would field the best possible team that you could to make sure that you're staying fit.
So it'd be a fitness thing, but... So my question is because this NTC, they're made up of a squad of under-18-year-olds. I guess the argument is that it's great to build up their amount of competitive football that they're getting, but does it affect the league as a whole when this team is competing but not competing for anything in particular?
I don't think so. I think you get the boost of the youth league players, basically, who are coming up against these older state league guys. So it's fantastic experience. Also, it's basically free scouting. So can you imagine being one of the sides there? You just see one of these kids playing for NTC, and you can, the next week he's in your squad. So it's a fantastic idea in my view, at least.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, then it's probably a valuable pathway to football.
I'm glad I've changed your mind.
Well, I don't know if I am, because I just don't...
With a little bit of drumming help.
Yeah, it's just... Okay, that's enough drumming.
Yeah, sorry.
I would just find it as a competitive... Or as a coach, I would say that it's just a meaningless game halfway through the season is not doing you any favours. You're trying to worry about who you're going to play and... Do you not see...
I don't know, I still think it's going to be a valuable experience.
It's valuable for football as a whole, but for the competition, trying to be competitive and...
So what do you think? Do you think that they should just enter NTC into this All Flags comp, so that way there would be the 14 teams? Or what's your view?
Could they not... Why doesn't NTC compete in the National Youth League? Is that just far-fetched?
As in, like, an A-League National Youth League side?
Yeah, well, doesn't AIS already compete in the National Youth League?
That's true.
And they're competing for points?
Yeah, but to be fair, if you look at the Youth League sides, most of them are on the eastern coast.
Doesn't Perth Glory have a... Do they not have a Youth League team, am I? They don't.
I don't think they do. What does Google say?
Oh, wow.
Wait, they do have a Youth League side.
You proved me wrong. I'm not silly. So yeah, that's my suggestion, but perhaps them competing in the state league competition.
I don't think FFA would really welcome them into a National Youth League myself, just because they're not attached to an A League side. That's one of the things which the people at Wollongong Wolves are trying to work out. They're trying to make sure that their bid for an A League position is going to already have set up the A League first team, a women's side, and a national youth team. So that way they can enter into the competition with all three already established and ready to go.
And that's fair enough, because, I mean, Canberra already have a women's league side.
Yeah.
Do they then get a youth league side before they get an A-League side?
I wouldn't mind it. If you just made the AIS side just change their names to Canberra United, it's a quick fix solution.
Just do it, AIS. You're now Canberra United as of... We're renaming
now. Well, as of 10:45 on April the 5th, 2011, you are Canberra United.
Yeah, so whenever we refer to you, we're going to refer to you as Canberra United.
Yeah.
There's no longer an AIS side. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that as well.
Well, let's talk about the ACL.
The Champions League. What's going on in the Champions League at the moment?
Currently, well, while we go to...
Oh, it looks like recording. It's 1-1. From what I can see, it's the 60th minute at the moment. It's 1-1. Kevin Muscat scored a goal. Not too sure if I'm happy about that. And Robbie Cruz has just come on for Tom Pontiac.
Let us give you a bit of background. We are recording as Melbourne Victory are playing, and it's currently 1-1. We're almost about finished, and we won't know the end result.
But you might.
But you will. You'll be listening to this as the game is finished. Yeah, it's Tando Vlaffy's debut.
Yeah, it should be a good chance for him to go up against the Chinese Super League side.
Let's use past tense. It was a good chance for him.
Yeah, sorry. He had a good opportunity to go up against the Chinese Super League side. And I'm going to take a wild guess and say that he did well for 90 minutes of the game, but he made one stuff up at the end.
Mm, and that would be me, and I'm going to be really presumptuous. Stop trying to make back your sound effects money.
All my job back.
We're going to be really, really presumptuous and say that Melbourne Victory lost the match. It's 1-1 after 57 there. They've got no chance.
Adrian Leigh, you can get on your plane and go to LA sooner.
Yeah, it would make you happy. You and the boys happy.
Yeah.
Hashtag winning. Sydney FC, they're playing tomorrow night against Shanghai Shenhua at the SFS. So get along to that if you're in Sydney. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. We'll be there. Some of us bigging it up in the media box while others are slumming it in the general admin.
Thanks, it makes me feel so much better.
Captain Terry McFlynn has been banned for this match and also for the next match against Kashima Antlers. That was, if you can't remember, we'll just jolt your memory. He stomped on one of the players in...
Yeah, I'm not too sure whether or not it really was. He was trying to jump over the guy. He went for the cheeky stomp. The referee picked him up, gave him the red card. It's a tough one to pick, but...
It's over now. He's got two games. Stu Musialik has been handed the captaincy band.
Which is kind of funny because he doesn't actually have an A-League club for next season. So I'm advertising here. A-League clubs, if you're listening, Stu Musialik is on offer. So send Sydney FC an email, see what he's offering.
I also hear he's single, ladies.
Well, hello.
Does he continue on after the group stages of the ACL? Or
yeah, he was given a 3-month contract. Basically, he has until the end of the ACL group stages. Then he will probably get his contract extended. Mainly because Sydney didn't sign Paul Reid when they had the opportunity to.
Well, they got denied by Adelaide.
Stupid Adelaide. Nothing against you guys from Adelaide. I really do like you.
Pete, we're a nationwide podcast. You've got to keep your allegiances at bay to a certain extent.
I'm sorry. I'll try better next podcast. Probably not, but... Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's about all we've got time for at the moment. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's all right. That's been about 33 minutes.
Try to light up the cigars, bring out the brandy, and... Let's watch Melbourne Victory lose the rest of this game.
Yeah, and good luck to the Sky Blue boys wrapping up Oz and hopefully hashtag winning. My name is Matt Greenlaw. That over there is...
None other than Pete Nowakowski, also known as the Sound Effect Guy.
This is the Football Sack Podcast. Here's some music to take you away. I love the actual music.